Clairemond by Théophile Gautier. Brother, you ask me if I have ever loved. Yes, my story is a strange and terrible one. And though I am 66 years of age, I scarcely dare even now to disturb the ashes of that memory. To you I can refuse nothing, but I should not relate such a tale to any less experienced mind. So strange were the circumstances of my story that I can scarcely believe myself to have ever actually been a party to them. For more than 3 years, I remained the victim of a most singular and diabolical illusion. Poor country priest though I was, I led every night in a dream. Would to God it had been all a dream. A most worldly life, a damning life, a life of Sardanapalus. One single look too freely cast upon a woman well-nigh caused me to lose my soul. But finally, by the grace of God and the assistance of my patron saint, I succeeded in casting out the evil spirit that possessed me. My daily life was long interwoven with a nocturnal life of a totally different character. By day I was a priest of the Lord, occupied with prayer and sacred things. By night, from the instant that I closed my eyes, I became a young nobleman, a fine connoisseur in women, dogs, and horses, gambling, drinking, and blaspheming. And when I awoke at early daybreak, it seemed to me, on the other hand, that I had been sleeping and had only dreamed that I was a priest. Of this somnambulistic life, there now remains to me only the recollection of certain scenes and words which I cannot banish from my memory. But although I never actually left the walls of my presbytery, one would think to hear me speak that I were a man who, weary of all worldly pleasures, had become a religious, seeking to end a tempestuous life in the service of God, rather than a humble seminarist who has grown old in this obscure curacy, situated in the depths of the woods and even isolated from the life of the century. Yes, I have loved as none in the world ever loved, with an insensate and furious passion, so violent that I am astonished it did not cause my heart to burst asunder. Ah, what nights, what nights! From my earliest childhood, I had felt a vocation to the priesthood, so that all my studies were directed with that idea in view. Up to the age of 24, my life had been only a prolonged novitiate. Having completed my course of theology, I successively received all the minor orders, and my superiors judged me worthy, despite my youth, to pass the last awful degree. My ordination was fixed for Easter week. I had never gone into the world. My world was confined by the walls of the college and the seminary. I knew in a vague sort of a way that there was something called woman, but I never permitted my thoughts to dwell on such a subject, and I lived in a state of perfect innocence. Twice a year only I saw my infirm and aged mother, and in those visits were comprised my sole relations with the outer world. I regretted nothing. I felt not the least hesitation at taking the last irrevocable step. I was filled with joy and impatience. Never did a betrothed lover count the slow hours with more feverish ardor. I slept only to dream that I was saying Mass. I believed there could be nothing in the world more delightful than to be a priest. I would have refused to be a king or a poet in preference. My ambition could conceive of no loftier aim. I tell you this in order to show you that what happened to me could not have happened in the natural order of things, and to enable you to understand that I was the victim of an inexplicable fascination. At last the great day came. I walked to the church with a step so light that I fancied myself sustained in air, or that I had wings upon my shoulders. I believed myself an angel, and wondered at the somber and thoughtful faces of my companions, for there were several of us. I had passed all the night in prayer, and was in a condition well-nigh bordering on ecstasy. The bishop, a venerable old man, seemed to me God the Father leaning over his eternity, and I beheld heaven through the vault of the temple. You well know the details of that ceremony, the benediction, the communion under both forms, the anointing of the palms of the hands with the oil of catechumens, and then the holy sacrifice offered in concert with the bishop. Ah, truly spake Job when he declared that the imprudent man is one who hath not made a covenant with his eyes. I accidentally lifted my head, which until then I had kept down, and beheld before me, so close that it seemed that I could have touched her, although she was actually a considerable distance from me and on the further side of the sanctuary railing, a young woman of extraordinary beauty and attired with royal magnificence. It seemed as though scales had suddenly fallen from my eyes. I felt like a blind man who unexpectedly recovers his sight. The bishop, so radiantly glorious but an instant before, suddenly vanished away, the tapers paled upon their golden candlesticks like stars in the dawn, and a vast darkness seemed to fill the whole church. The charming creature appeared in bright relief against the background of that darkness, like some angelic revelation. She seemed herself radiant, and radiating light rather than receiving it. I lowered my eyelids, firmly resolved not to again open them, that I might not be influenced by external objects, for distraction had gradually taken possession of me until I hardly knew what I was doing. In another minute, nevertheless, I reopened my eyes, for through my eyelashes I still beheld her, all sparkling with prismatic colors, and surrounded with such a penumbra as one.